You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us every week to get in on the action. This is the daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Green Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, the Dodger game only went five innings, but this podcast will go the full time allotted.
Yeah, and knowing us, it might go even a little bit longer than it's supposed to.
Yeah, definitely. The game was short, but there's enough to talk about, and then we'll also talk about Dave Roberts' comments on the Trevor Bauer situation and his start that's supposed to happen on Sunday, and then we'll talk about the All-Star starter voting. Five finalists for the Dodgers, none of them are starters, so we'll get into all that. But a quick reminder before that to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so Dodgers won by a score of 6-2 on the back of Max Muncy's grand slam that put them ahead by that score. The weather did not cooperate, or maybe did cooperate, at least on the Dodgers' end. They got to save their bullpen a little bit. And they won in five innings, and now they have three more with the Nationals with not using too many guys, especially in a game where Tony Gonsolin was brought in as the bulk innings guy because of the weather. They weren't sure if they wanted to start Gonsolin, and then he pitches, and then it starts raining, and then they ended up burning him and having to do a full bullpen game. The way it was going was kind of going to be a full bullpen game anyways. He didn't go that long, but the good thing is the weather helped the Dodgers in that sense.
Yeah, Garrett Clevenger is apparently our guy who finishes games that are going to be shortened by rain. Doesn't get a save this time because the Dodgers had a 4-run lead. But yeah, other than the fact that Victor Gonzalez wasn't effective against the two guys he was explicitly pitching for, Schwarber and Soto, Dave Roberts' pitching plan worked out pretty well. I don't think he planned on having to go to Phil Bickford in the first inning and only use Bickford for one hitter. But because of the rain out, it worked out great for the Dodgers. And even, I mean, Schwarber's double and Soto's single were both garbage hits. I mean, they count as much as real hits, but, you know, I don't think you can really blame Victor Gonzalez for that. They're both good hitters who both put like half swings on the ball that happened to find holes. But all in all, yeah, the plan worked out, but it was definitely aided by the weather.
The way Schwarber's been hitting, keeping him in the ballpark is a win. Obviously, they would have preferred him to get him out, but, you know, like I said, he ended up scoring anyways, but keeping him in the ballpark was a win, and then Tony Gonsolin ended up striking him out. So, you know, I told people at my job on the baseball side of things, like, you know, Schwarber's reign of terror is going to end because he's facing the Dodgers and good pitching this weekend, so hopefully that continues to trend that way. On offense, Dodgers were facing Patrick Corbin, first time they faced a lefty in a while, and, you know, ended up getting to him, and Corbin's a guy that's had success against the Dodgers in the past, but they've also gotten to him a few times, and today was one of those times where they got to him. Max Muncy with the big back-breaking home run. A.J. Pollock also had a home run, and Albert Pujols had an RBI single. So it's nice to see Pujols and Pollock, who should be crushing lefties, do their job there, even though Pujols' single wasn't crushing, but it was a nicely placed single. And then Max Muncy continues his tear on a night where he would later find out that he was not named an All-Star starter, which we will get into later.
Yeah, offensively, can't complain too much. It was a little bit surprising that they didn't find their success against Corbin by working the count, working walks, you know, getting his pitch count up. They actually knocked him around a little bit, you know, and had some hits. Not anything hit very hard. Even Pollock's home run had an expected batting average of, I think, 230. It was, you know, barely even a hard hit ball. I think it was 95.7 miles an hour. It just, you know, it was hit to the right part of the park. And Muncy's home run, even though it was a no-doubter off the bat, it actually, you know, I think it had like a 540 expected batting average, something like that. You know, it was a legit home run, but it's probably only a home run half the time. But because he pulled it so much, you know, it worked. But I mean, yeah, they put a lot of hits on the board and got some clutch hits. Pujols' hit was a big deal. And then obviously Muncy's home run was the backbreaker. But in that situation, bases loaded and one out, you know, you go up there thinking, okay, Muncy's at least going to get us a sac fly, or he's going to work a bases loaded walk. You know, that's a situation where, you know, Muncy's going to come through. You don't necessarily expect him to come through with a grand slam, although that seems to be the Dodgers thing this year. So it all worked out, but, it was definitely fun to see. And in that point, when we had all seen the weather forecast by that point, it was the top of the fifth, Dodgers taking the lead and just knowing the rain was about to come, it worked out perfectly. They took the lead, they got three more outs and called it a night.
Yeah, and Muncy had just missed in his first at bat. He even looked at his bat, and like if it had cracked or something like that. That's what it seemed like to me. But yeah, I mean, overall good win. Like I said, save the bullpen and works out. The Dodgers in D.C. will visit the president today. They will go visit, I believe, the vice president, Kamala Harris, supposed to be there as well with Joe Biden. So while they didn't get a parade, they get at least one of the benefits, I guess, of winning the World Series. Not sure how beneficial it is for every player, but I'm sure there's some players that are excited to go. And I think they're the first team to go in the White House since Biden took over.
Yeah, and yeah, I think that's right. And yeah, that's exciting for them to do it. It's, you know, not that we were glad the Dodgers lost either of the two previous World Series, but it would have been a more controversial move, I guess, just because the previous president, regardless of
would have been something more for people to argue.
Yeah,
about.
Regardless of your feelings about him, there's no denying he was more controversial. And yes, I understand there's controversial things about President Biden too. This is not a political podcast, but it seems like for the most part, this is a pleasant thing that some of the guys will get to go do, spend some time at the White House. And that's something that, in my opinion, I've always thought that should be an apolitical thing. That is an opportunity that teams that win a championship get to do. It should never be about who the president is. It's, hey, this is cool. We get to go to the White House because we won the World Series, and I'm glad the Dodgers get to do it.
Yeah, Brusdar Graterol will be flying in, already has flown in to be a part of it, and then he'll go back to OKC after. And then just another note on OKC, Caber Ruiz, who we talked about, could be a potential trade guy, and this month had two more home runs at OKC, so he is continuing to up that trade value.
Yeah, absolutely, and we may see that trade value pay off sooner than later, probably.
All right, that's going to do it for this. We're going to come back and talk about Dave Roberts' comments on the Trevor Bauer situation in regards to him starting this weekend. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Fully Loaded Chew. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that give you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz you're used to without tobacco. It's available in 9 flavors, and Fully Loaded Chew is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine, the purest form of nicotine available. If you or a friend or family member use Chew, they should or already have transitioned to Fully Loaded Chew. It tastes and feels just like traditional smokeless products, which made it an easy transition away from traditional tobacco smokeless products. It's the only moist nicotine pouch on the market. All other nicotine pouches are dry white pouches. Nothing dips, spits, and packs like Fully Loaded. Fully Loaded Chew is offering Locked On Dodgers listeners a special offer. Right now, you can try a can for just $1. That's right, just $1. Go to www.fullyloadedchew.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. That's just $1 and free shipping if you use the code LOCKEDON at checkout. The next time you go for a dip, make it Fully Loaded Chew. fullyloadedchew.com. All right, Jeff, we are back. And Dave Roberts was obviously asked about Trevor Bauer and his impending start on Sunday. Dave Roberts had comments. Here's the bulk of one. He says, "I'm in the position of following the lead of Major League Baseball. I don't know. The recommendation for us is that he was our scheduled Sunday starter and to move forward and have him start that game on Sunday. For me to try to read into any more outside of what they advise me and us to do, I just choose to follow their lead." He also used the term, "it's out of their hands." A lot of people were upset with this, especially the part about it being out of their hands. But based on procedures and rules, it kind of is out of their hands unless they went to the extreme of releasing him or DFAing him, I believe.
No, they can't even do that. And not everybody listening to me right now will agree with this, but I'll explain to you. I've read the league's domestic violence policy many times, and I am a pretty smart person. And so I'm going to explain to you my understanding of it, and I stand by this. I am positive that this is the correct reading of it. The Dodgers can't do anything. If they DFA'd Bauer, it would be viewed correctly as punishment for the domestic or the sexual assault allegation. And the policy explicitly says the teams cannot have any discipline or adverse action towards a player, that right rests entirely and solely with the league, unless the league defers that to the team, which they never have and they never will. Only Major League Baseball can discipline Trevor Bauer. And so Dave Roberts is absolutely right. Their hands are tied. Now, it's important to note that what Dave Roberts said was, basically, as of right now, Trevor Bauer is still scheduled to start on Sunday. Trevor Bauer is not going to start on Sunday. It's because Major League Baseball is going to put Trevor Bauer on administrative leave Saturday night or Sunday morning. The reason they haven't done it yet is because, according to the domestic violence policy, the administrative leave can last for 7 days, and then they can request from the union 7 more days, and basically the union's not really allowed to reject that request. So basically we're looking at a 2-week window for MLB to do their investigation and everything. Now, this is the same concept as a team not putting a guy on the 60-day injured list until they actually need the roster spot. Trevor Bauer is not going to play today or tomorrow. He is the scheduled starting pitcher on Sunday. So Major League Baseball doesn't need to put him on leave yet because he's not going to play on Friday or Saturday anyway. So they're going to put him on leave in time for him to not start on Sunday. I even assume that the Dodgers have already been told that. And that's why Dave Roberts said, as of right now, he's still scheduled to start the game, because the Dodgers aren't allowed to say the league is putting Trevor on leave Saturday night, because only the league can do that. And so all of this is going to, we're going to look back in 3 days and say, wow, that was much ado about nothing, that Trevor Bauer did not take the mound for the Dodgers on Sunday. Does it suck that Dave Roberts is in a position to have to answer these questions? Yeah. Is it another sign that this is probably a weak spot in the league's domestic violence policy, that, you know, that a team ends up having to answer questions that they're not allowed to answer because the league, for paperwork reasons, has to delay putting them on leave? Yeah. But you've got people who, you know, Ken Rosenthal wrote an article on The Athletic. I like Ken Rosenthal. He has a lot of good sources. There are things he's good at. I've said this before. He's not the best analytical mind. And he wrote a whole article saying that the league can put Trevor Bauer on leave. Well, yes, of course they can. And they're going to. It's the most obvious thing. But then he also said that he quoted Dave Roberts saying it's out of our hands. And Rosenthal says, that's not true. The Dodgers choose which players they want to use every day. Near the end of the 2015 season, the Nationals suspended Jonathan Papelbon for 4 games without pay after he tried to choke teammate Bryce Harper in the dugout. Papelbon filed a grievance and won his back pay. The Nationals knew such an outcome was possible, but they went ahead with the suspension anyway, believing it was the right thing to do. Evidently, the Dodgers are unwilling to take that same step, perhaps out of fear the union will file a grievance. Fine, follow the domestic policy violence to the letter and leave this to Manfred. As if, now this is back to Jeff, I'm done quoting Rosenthal. As if the Dodgers following the league's domestic violence policy is a bad thing. The league used to not have any policy. And you know what? That was a bad thing. And that was why people got away with domestic violence. I think we can all agree the league having a policy is better than the league not having a policy. And if a team blatantly disobeys the policy by doing something that it explicitly says they can't do, that undermines the policy and makes it worse for everyone, including future victims of assault and abuse who would have been protected under the policy. I could walk next door right now and murder my next door neighbor, but the law says I can't. And so it's just as valid for me to say, you know what? It's out of my hands. No matter how much I hate my neighbor, I can't kill him. Sure, you can. You just go over there and shoot him. No, I can't. The law says I can't, okay? I actually like my next door neighbor. Sorry, Covey, if you listen, I didn't mean that. But yeah, so all these people parsing, what does it mean to say it's out of our hands? No, the policy says the Dodgers can't do anything. So the Dodgers can't do anything. It's on Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball will do it. Not when any of us would have liked, but that's because they maybe don't have the perfect policy, and hopefully they will tweak it and improve some of these things. But it's mostly much ado about nothing.
So let's just say they, well, you say they can't, but if they wanted to DFA him, they, and he's going to get paid. So what would the grievance be?
The grievance would be because they said, first of all, he would be put back on their roster. The DFA would be disallowed, and they'd pay a fine. And for that matter, if the Dodgers went against the policy, there's nothing that says Manfred couldn't say, you know what, even when we do suspend Bauer, we're going to still count his salary against the Dodgers' competitive balance tax just because you guys chose to violate the policy. There, the commissioner has probably too much leeway in this, but DFAing him wouldn't work because the grievance, the arbitrator would say, you know what, that's not allowed. He's back on your roster. So good job standing on principle. I hope it made Twitter happy, but it didn't actually do any good. And that's my main thing, is everything that I'm seeing that people want the Dodgers to do is to make Twitter happy, but not actually do any good. And what our goal here should be, let's do good. Let's do right by his victim. And let's do, if the Dodgers were to try to do something and have that overturned by an arbitrator, if anything, that strengthens Bauer's case against suspension or, you know, any actual discipline by the league who's actually allowed to discipline him, saying, look, we've already had one discipline overturned. You know, it not strengthens it to the point where he would actually win. Trevor Bauer is going to be suspended. Julio Urias got suspended for something that he and his girlfriend and the police basically all agreed was a misunderstanding. He still got suspended for it. Trevor Bauer is getting suspended. It's just a matter for how long. And the first step is putting him on administrative leave, which is what the league will do on Saturday night or Sunday morning.
Like I said, procedural wise, that's kind of the way it goes. Obviously, we've seen other leagues, they have different policies, different ways of going about it. In the NFL, you're allowed to pretty much cut guys whenever you want. In this specific situation, it looks like Dodgers cannot. So it is technically out of their hands. But like I said, we'll have an issue more if what Jeff is saying doesn't happen before or on Sunday.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm saying this confidently. There's still that little part of the back of my brain that says, remember, Rob Manfred is the commissioner and he sucks at everything. So, but you know, that everything points to, this is why, I mean, everybody gets put on administrative leave. They haven't done anything with Marcell Ozuna yet because he was on the injured list anyway, so he couldn't play anyway. So everything points to, before he can step back on the field and actually play baseball, we put him on leave so we can investigate. So that's what's going to do. And I hope it's clear that none of this is to advocate violence against women. None of this is to defend Trevor Bauer. The details we know, you know, best case scenario, the Dodgers are probably rethinking the bobblehead on August 19th, because even his defense, the stuff that has been leaked in his defense kind of points to, yeah, probably don't want to do a bobblehead of that guy right now. You know, so best case scenario, that's what's going on. None of this is a defense of anything. This is just my reading of a legal document and my assessment of the real world implications of that policy.
Yeah. So we're going to come back and talk about all-star starters and how none of them are Dodgers. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I could leave it at that, but let's get down into more details. I can't tell you or describe the taste. I just know it tastes good, but I can tell you why it's the best tasting and best protein bar, because all the flavors are covered in chocolate, which, you know, if you don't like chocolate, you might be in the minority there, but if you do, then Built Bar is for you. All the flavors have around 17 to 20 grams of protein, all around 130 to 180 calories, all around 4 to 5 grams sugar, all around 4 to 5 grams net carbs. They also have high fiber. If you're on the keto diet, they're good for that. They just cross and check off so many boxes. I don't know why you haven't tried Built Bar already. If you haven't already done so, you can get a mixed box where you can try all the flavors, or you can just find a flavor that you think you like and get that. I'm sure you can even mix up 2 or 3 flavors and get that. So go to builtbar.com, check out all the flavors. And if you use the promo code LOCK15 when you check out, you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. The Dodgers are usually 1.5-run favorites in almost every game except one this season, so I would imagine that trend will continue. The safe money is probably more on straight up money line. You won't make as much money, but you'll win more often than you'll lose. But if you want to go for some big money, you can always bet the over under. You can always bet the money line. You can always bet the spread. Whatever you want to bet, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check it all out. They have news, sign up bonuses, contest information, everything you need, not just for MLB and the Dodgers, but for all the other sports. They also have poker, racebook, and a bunch of other stuff to do. So anything you want gambling wise, BetOnline has it down for you. Head to BetOnline right now and get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jeff, finish off with not great news for the Dodgers. They had 5 finalists in the All-Star voting. None of them will be starting in the All-Star game, or at least weren't voted starters. I guess potentially some could start. But yeah, Max Muncy's probably the biggest one that's that an issue with. He leads NL first baseman in just about every offensive category. He's been much better than Freddie Freeman has this year, and Freddie Freeman was the MVP last year, which probably helped boost him. The weird part is that Max Muncy led the voting in the first phase and then ended up losing when he got down to the 3 guys with the second phase. So that part sucks. Chris Taylor, Mookie Betts, not voted in the outfield. Gavin Lux, who probably didn't deserve it or definitely didn't deserve it, not at second base. And then Justin Turner finished behind Nolan Arenado at third base. It was a close race on Wednesday morning or Thursday morning, but then Arenado ended up winning by a few points. So, yeah, Jeff, I mean, I guess Muncy's the only real surprise. Turner tried his best. Him and Court tried their best to get the votes going, but it just didn't work out in the end.
Yeah, I don't know if Muncy's the only surprise. Turner's a little surprising, too. He was actually closer in the most recent results we saw. Muncy is definitely the only one who you can clearly say he was better this year than the person who he lost to. Turner was close with Arenado. Arenado's better defensively. You know, it's a toss-up there. You know, Chris Taylor deserves to be in the All-Star game and will be, but probably doesn't deserve to start in the outfield in the All-Star game. Mookie Betts probably won't be there. You know, wouldn't have been indefensible. But Max Muncy is the one that you can honestly say he is better than the guy he lost to. But that guy he lost to won the MVP award last year, you know, and is a perpetual All-Star, a multi-time All-Star. And so it's not an indefensible choice, partly because Major League Baseball has never given any, we don't actually know what the All-Star game is supposed to be. Is it for the people having the best season or is it for the best players? Because, you know, I'm not positive that Max Muncy is a better baseball player than Freddie Freeman. You know, he's definitely having a better season this year and Max Muncy is very, very good, but I couldn't tell you for sure that Max Muncy is better than Freddie Freeman, you know? And so if this is for the best players, Freddie Freeman's not an indefensible choice. I still voted for Max Muncy because I thought he deserved it, especially based on this season. But because of the way it is, I don't think that's that big a deal. The other thing is, if at any point in the last few weeks you voted for, you know, Gavin Lux or AJ Pollock or Corey Seager for the All-Star team, I don't think you're allowed to complain that Braves fans voted for Freddie Freeman and that Cardinals fans vote for Nolan Arenado, because, you know, it's always been a popularity thing more than who's actually the best player. And so if all of your votes, if every ballot you submitted really was based on who you thought deserved to start, gripe away. Great. But I think most people vote with their hearts and their team colored glasses on. And, you know, for the most part, if you're going to let fans vote, I think that's okay.
I think the only other team with more finalists that didn't get a starter was the Astros. And in that case, it might be, you know, with the Dodgers, some people could say anti-Dodgers, you know, maybe people voted specifically against anyone that wasn't a Dodger, which would be more because the Dodgers have beat their team rather than probably anything else. All this Bauer stuff that's been bad PR the last few days wouldn't be enough to swing any votes. But on the Astros side, I guess that's the one way the fans can get back at them, at least the ones that were involved, Correa, Altuve, and Gurriel, by not voting them in.
And that's good. You know, every ballot I submitted, for the most part, I went with Dodgers and in the American League, people who I thought deserved to make the team. But there was definitely an exception. There was a certain team that I never voted for anybody on, and that will remain the case. I voted for Buster Posey, full disclosure, in this final thing. I think Buster Posey deserves to start the All-Star game, so I voted for him. I did not vote for a Jose Altuve.
You know, like I said, if there's one thing the fans can do, I guess it's that. Of the five finalists, the only ones that are – we talked about this yesterday, but the only ones that are probably going to make the team – are Muncy and Chris Taylor. You know, Mookie Betts, I just don't think his stats justify him being in. He would have been starter or bust. Gavin Lux's stats definitely don't justify him being in. Actually, Justin Turner may make it in, but it's going to be a matter of the roster crunch. You know, if Max Muncy would have been voted a starter, it would have been a little bit easier for Roberts and whoever decides to maybe add a couple or one extra Dodger, whereas he's going to have to bring Muncy in as a guy who's not a starter, so that might take away a spot from a Dodger who might be deserving, but just going to get roster crunched out.
Yeah, for sure. It sucks for Muncy. I actually feel worse for Turner because I think Turner maybe doesn't make the team at all just because of that roster crunch. And so Muncy and Taylor are going to make it anyway. I think Turner might not, and so I kind of feel the worst for him. He was the one I was most motivated for because of that, because I felt like he was the one who needed to earn the starting job to have the best chance of making the team.
Yeah, and then we'll talk real quick. So the rest of the teams announced on Sunday, on 4th of July. We talked about it briefly, but, you know, obviously now taking one of those pitchers out of the situation, do you think that Kershaw and Buehler make it? And Kenley, or is it going to be two of those three or one of those three? What are you thinking?
For me, I feel like Kershaw and Buehler both have to make it. Kershaw has like the sixth best pitcher WAR in the league, and Buehler has one of the best ERAs in the league. And so I feel like it's hard to reject either of them. As for Kenley, numbers wise, you know, as much stress as he's given us at times this year, numbers wise, just on raw numbers, he's having one of his best seasons. Obviously, he's doing it differently and making us nervous while he does it. But, you know, it's hard to keep Kenley out. If you look at other closers, you know, you always have a few closers who make the team. And I don't think there's two closers in the National League with better numbers than Kenley Jansen this season.
You know, Jansen, I hadn't really thought about before, just because I guess, you know, we have different thoughts of Jansen, even with the Sterling ERA and everything else, he just doesn't feel, you know, I guess now he's starting to feel like an all-star the last couple weeks, but before I didn't believe like, oh, I'll start Kenley Jansen. Dave Roberts kind of hinted the other day that, you know, he would be on the team, not necessarily saying it directly, but, you know, the fact that I don't know if he was asked the question or he brought it up on his own. Basically said, I expect Kenley to be on there. So it's possible the Dodgers will have five All-Stars, which, you know, with no starters, at the very least, that'll be indicative of how strong the team is overall.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll have plenty of guys showing up at the All-Star game for the Dodgers.
All right, Jeff, that's all I had. I don't know if you have anything else you want to talk about.
Not really talk about, just a comment. We're halfway through the season now, and the Dodgers have 50 wins. The Dodgers are on pace for 100 wins, and they can honestly, legitimately say that they have underperformed this year. They've been ravaged by injury. They've had a couple cold streaks. And so to be on pace for 100 wins at this point in the season is pretty remarkable and indicative, as you like to say, of what a good team this is.
Definitely. And as of right now, the D-backs are up 5-3 against the Giants, so that would put them to half a game back, so they could end up being in first place by the All-Star break pretty easily.
You know, it's weird to be rooting for the D-backs and weird for them to be pretending that they might actually reward our rooting for them, but go D-backs.
Yeah, Josh Reddick hit a home run earlier, and that was the very conflicting feelings because it put the D-backs ahead. But hey, at this point, you know, the Dodgers, it's I guess, I don't know if it's the most nervous we've felt, but it's definitely, you know, with the Giants playing the way they are and putting themselves in a position where they can be a 500 team and still be pretty good. And then obviously the Padres having played well against the Dodgers and seemingly finding their stride on offense, although they might hit cold streak. But either way, this is probably the most June, and now July scoreboard watching we've done in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or send us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail or send us a text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you on Monday.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Bucks stepped up without Giannis to take a 3-2 lead over the Hawks. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bombs, ooh, them bombs.